Hi, friend, and welcome to the Brand Strategy Podcast, a show created to equip you with the inspiration, encouragement, and clarity you need to build the brand of your dreams. I'm your host, Bonnie Bakhtiari, brand designer, strategist, and founder of The Illume Retreat. From sustainable strategy to heartfelt encouragement, each episode is designed to equip you with the tools you need to chase after your dreams. Because you deserve a brand that empowers you to do what you love, connects with your dream clients, and offers a deep sense of fulfillment along the way. So grab a cup of coffee and join me on this journey, won't you? Friends, welcome back to the Brand Strategy Podcast, where today we're talking about how to diversify your skills to become a standout service provider. We're joined by Kathy Olson. And if you have not met Kathy before, you're in for a treat today. She's been beautifying brands and designing experiences of digital delight for over 20 years, working with multi-billion dollar brands like Costco, Best Buy, and Disney. And the amazing thing about it, her heart's mission, even though she has really worked with some incredible brands in the past, her heart's mission is to help creatives book more clients and sell more products one gorgeous funnel at a time. Kathy, thank you so much for joining me today and coming on the podcast. I'm really excited to get to have this conversation with you today.
I will geek out on creatives and all this stuff. This is my favorite thing to do. So trust me, the pleasure is all mine.
I'm so excited to get to have this conversation with you about really becoming a standout service provider. And I feel like you're absolutely the right woman for this conversation, just based on your journey and the work that you do, the experience you've walked through over the years, and then showing other business owners how to implement that through really strategic funnel design. That's something that, I'm excited to kind of geek out over that too. But before I get way ahead of myself here, would you be up for telling us a little bit more about yourself and your amazing businesses?
Yes, I would love to. So I come from a traditional graphic design background, so that might help you kind of understand the journey that I went on to get to where I'm at now. Because if you're thinking funnels, what's a funnel? Or I kind of know about funnels, but what does this have to do with design? I come from that design as a graphic and web designer. So that was my main business, Love Inspired, for 10 years. And I got into this world of funnels just kind of by accident, mostly because I was working with clients and I would just kept raising my prices over and over and over and just getting higher and higher and higher and higher. But I was just still getting I was so busy. And so I started wanting to do some quote unquote passive income. And that's kind of where the funnel world came in. But nowadays I don't take on clients. Love Inspired is basically just I don't take any clients, but my bread and butter is Funnel Gorgeous, which has been insanely amazing. It's one of those things where you're kind of not sure it's going to work, but then it takes off like rocket fuel and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad. I went out on a limb and tried this. But with Funnel Gorgeous, I'm the co-founder, CEO, all the things, alongside my partner, Julie Stoyan. And I'm sort of the design side and the creative side and the marketing side. She's honestly the content creator. She creates she's such an amazing teacher. So she creates amazing content, but she comes more from the marketing and sales and direct message world. So we kind of brought the two together, design and sales. And that's kind of where Funnel Gorgeous is. And nowadays we do teach a lot about funnels, about marketing, about design, how they come together. But we also have some funnel templates that we sell. That was our main business for some time. And now that this just happened, 6 weeks ago, we launched our own funnel platform, SaaS software. So it's FG Funnels. It's a funnel platform that basically you build your funnels on it. You can also build websites. It's a whole CRM tool. It has a whole membership site. And we're the only female-owned funnel building platform. So it's really exciting and so scary, but so excited at the same time. So yeah, that's a little bit about it.
Congratulations. That's amazing.
It's crazy. We got a lot of hate, I think, from all the whole bro marketing side has not loved what we're doing. But it's one of those things where but you're just called to do it, after so long, and you think, well, who am I to do that? And then you start to think, well, who am I not? If it's not me, who's going to do it? And so it's one of those things. But yeah, I love geeking out on all things design, all things sales, and all things that combine the two.
I absolutely love that. Well, I know that you kind of sort of scratched the surface of the services and the, you know, courses and tools that you offer, but when you kind of boil it down and simplify a bit, how would you describe the work that you do to help creatives book more clients and sell more of their products?
Yes. And so it's really, it's a little bit about kind of what I was talking about before of combining the two worlds. But because I came from the design background, like I know what it's like to try to, well, A, you know, market yourself, but B, like market your clients and be successful. And I always thought I came from this design camp that looks for everything and mm-hmm. first impressions were everything. And the design is the thing that ultimately matters. And then sales comes second. And it's funny because when I started getting into the sales and marketing world, I realized the sales and marketing world thinks the opposite, that it's all about mm-hmm. the copy, that it's all about the content. It's all about the marketing strategy and the design comes second. And so it's so funny that these worlds are so against each other when they just don't realize they're better together. And so when I started opening up my eyes to the sales and marketing side of my business is when my business really blew up. Like I went from, I want to say maybe I was charging, you know, I don't know, $5,000 for a website to like $25,000. Like when I just tapped basically like the whole sales and marketing side of a design business, like it was insane. So I think that a lot of people are still missing that and they're not necessarily knowing what to do or how to change their design. Cause this is something that's not taught in design school, whether you're self-taught or not self-taught, no one teaches this. Like designers right. just kind of go on this path of learning about visuals, but not really about sales psychology. And it's so important. Like it's like the one thing that can make or break. Like your design can be beautiful, like totally beautiful, the most amazing piece of art anyone's ever seen. But if it doesn't sell, it's not successful. So that's where I really try to focus in on telling designers like, hey, you got to pay attention to this stuff and you got to learn this stuff. And then I also tell the other side of the salespeople, hey, you got to pay attention to this branding and design stuff because it's going to change your life. So it's kind of like bringing the two worlds together.
I love that. You're kind of like bridging the gap between those two worlds.
Absolutely. And I don't know why they ignore each other so much. It's insane. There's no point of it.
Right. That's so funny that you mentioned that because honestly, sales psychology is something that I'm fascinated by and I'm continually like trying to just absorb all that I can about it because it's mind blowing in the best way. But as a designer, I see so many who do focus on the visual side of things. And it's like, we don't even entertain the idea of how sales psychology can come into play. So if we are aware of that and if we challenge ourselves to learn more about it, and if you're showing designers how to do that, that is such a powerful way to really make sure that every single design project you take on is a success, right?
Yes. Yes. And I think honestly, it helps a lot with the ickiness of selling, which I think is something that's super prevalent in any creative. Like, I don't know. I've almost never met a creative that said, I love to sell. They're definitely out there. But I think most people feel weird and icky and gross about selling. But when you dive into sales psychology and really connecting with people, like, and just, you're like a matchmaker, right? You're connecting people with who need the thing, who have a problem, with the people who have the solution. And if you really understand what people are looking for and let go of that feeling of like ickiness, I guess, then it can be so powerful and it's really makes all the difference. And I do think that some people think through, like when you're designing, you're never not thinking of that. Of course you're designing it for someone, right? It's not like a piece of art that goes on the wall. It's a solution. But at the same time, if you don't understand what, like how people buy, that's where there's a disconnect. And how do you make a visual, how do you make that experience connect with what they're actually looking for? That's the hardest part because a lot of people just guess. They're like, I think my client is attracted to, and then they start to go into the branding. But I'm like, no. What is their problem? Like the branding is one thing. We totally got that side down. And I actually think it's a lot easier to go from a designer and learn sales than it is from a salesperson to learn design. Like, so you guys already like have a like huge leg up. So it's just understanding the needs, right, of the person and what they're hoping to understand when they're reading something. So whether it's a website, whether it's a sales funnel, whether it's, you know, social media, what are they hoping to gain out of this experience and designing for the experience that they are hoping to have? But you do, it's just, you gotta think about, you really got to put yourself in their shoes, to be honest, is the one thing, but also what do they really care about?
Yes, absolutely. I kind of like to think of that as an opportunity to sort of put on your like detective hat a little bit and really do some sleuthing and some investigating to understand what that end result needs to look like in order to meet those expectations.
Totally. And especially with, you know, when you're looking at your medium, that's really, really important. So if this, you know, the difference between how someone would open up a magazine and read it and how someone would look at a website and explore it and how someone would get through a sales page, totally different from each other. The way that we explore content, completely different, right? Even just, you know, listening to using audio or video or however, writing it down, right? There's like all these different ways that humans can connect to a message and understand it and like to intake the information. And so that's like almost like the behavior, studying the behavior of people. And it's like, okay, well, if you don't offer them this, they're not going to do something. So like, if you think about like for just at a fundamental level, we think about like scarcity, right? If you guys have ever heard of scarcity, like in either a web page or sales funnel, it's like, we know people won't move unless we like threaten them to move. And this is just like probably evolutionary psychology, right? Like humans don't move unless they're made to move. Mm-hmm. So stuff like that, it's not icky as long as you're understanding, well, someone needs something, like they need to hear something that gets them off to get to take action. So what can I say to them that will connect them with the action that they need to take? So it's not a negative. It's not like a like persuasive type of thing as much as it's opening that up them up to be able to do the action that they're hoping to do so they get the solution that they want.
Right, right. And in order to really, you know, provide them with that solution, it's important to kind of change the way you're viewing the concept of sales psychology in the first place in order to take that step to be the service provider that is creating those solutions in a way that's really, really meeting your clients' needs, I feel.
Absolutely. It's smart marketing, really, but it's also smart design because not only, so let's take that for example, if we're talking about scarcity, right? Okay. Well, we know that they need to be called out on whatever's holding them back for not hiring me, right? Or whatever it is. So maybe like you've decided that this is what I used to say when I was in my design agency. I used to say, I'm the third designer that you hire. And I swear, it's so funny how many times that was accurate. And I just listened to like, when I was talking to people, they'd be like, oh, you're the third person I've tried. I tried, you know, first was usually like their, like someone they knew, right? Like, oh, someone's cousin's brother does design, they can help me. And then the second one was usually like, okay, that one didn't work. I actually have to find somebody, but I don't really have a budget yet, so let's try this. And then I was like the third one that came in where they were like, okay, no, we really need someone that knows what they're doing, that has like a high level strategy on top of design. So that was, I always told people, I was like the third people, and people were like, oh my gosh, that's totally right. So let's say like that was your sticking point, like you've already tried so and so, you've already tried so and so, now you need to do this. Like, are you going to waste more money doing it the same way? Or, you know, like whatever the scarcity is, right? Like you're going to actually call them out to doing something different. Mm-hmm. And you're also going to say scarcity as in, if you continue to do what you're doing, then this thing's going to happen that you didn't like. So now you have that psychology, but how do you visually show that? Like, how do you actually take the content and now design it so that they understand the scarcity? And that's where designers really can shine, because you could take a paragraph and just kind of put it there, but you want to go through that psychology process and have them understand the information, like just really like hierarchy, right? But have them understand the information in such a way that it supports that experience. So I don't know, I don't really have like, you know, we're just talking, so it's like I don't have like a paragraph, but you know how you would have like basically a subtitle saying, let me guess, you know, or like something like, and then the next thing is, you already tried hiring two other, you know, someone's cousin's brother, and that didn't work for you, did it? You know, or whatever. And then, you know, and then having maybe something smaller. I totally get it. Most people do that, you know, so you see how you're kind of, you're using the visual and walking them through the sales process almost like you would when you're saying it. So it's like using design like words, like I mean, it that makes sense. Using it like you would do with your voice, you know, using like space when you need someone to stop and think about something, like actual visual space, and saying, "Okay, hold on, I need to think about this for a second." Or you know, using bold or italics or like a different font or a lighter color, like when you want to say like an aside, like you're like you turn to the audience and you're talking to them. So it's like connecting the psychology with the visuals that support that psychology that creates an experience while they're reading. And I think this is why emails are totally misconstrued so often, because we can't design them. Or I mean, I guess we can, like when you use like newsletters, but I mean, regular emails, when you send to people, they are often misunderstood because we aren't able to design the experience of how we want them to read it. And so that's like the connection that you learn when you're learning like psychology and design psychology and sales psychology, is like, how can we make sure they read this the same all the time? And then the next level of that is, how can we design this experience for people who read things differently? So how, like maybe people quickly skim through, or maybe they're going to read every like inch. And so how can we actually design different experiences within the same content? So cool.
Yeah, I love that.
I hope you're geeking out with me, because I'm like full 100% geek now.
Oh, I love it. I'm so here for it. I just like when you're kind of like painting that picture and kind of going there, and I just see like nothing but like possibility in my mind of like all the different avenues that designers can bring to life for their clients if they follow that approach. So, okay, let me kind of like back up a little bit. So I know that you offer, you teach, you know, creatives how to utilize funnel strategy, conversion copywriting, and funnel design. Mm-hmm. How do you see those three skills coming together to help entrepreneurs stand out in their industries? I know we've already kind of like started to scratch the surface a little bit, but what is it about those three that kind of feels like the trifecta to you?
Yes, I'm so glad you asked that question, because it does get a little bit confusing. So because they're basically the three levels of that something could fail, if that makes sense. So like failure to convert. So let's say like someone's landing on a page, the three things, offer, copy, and design, are the three ways that you can break it, that someone leaves the page. And so that's why like we teach in those like three buckets, because those are the three things of, okay, first you got to figure out your offer. It's got to be a killer offer. It's got to be irresistible. People don't buy things just to buy things. I mean, I guess maybe some things we do, but then we have buyer's remorse when I like going on Amazon and I'm just literally adding these to my cart. Maybe that's just me. But but the offer, it has to be something they're actually looking for in that moment, like in something that's really like an offer you can't refuse, right? Like we've heard of. So it's really important to have your offer be really, 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 really irresistible, no matter what the cost is. So whether you're just getting started out, or if you're selling a course and it's low ticket versus like, you know, high ticket all the way up, you know, multiple six figures, whatever it is, it has to be irresistible. So if the offer fails, everything fails, right? Mm-hmm. So like, that's why we start with that. And then we talk about conversion copywriting, because that's the message that you're bringing forth. And the message is also like a failure point. If you fail to connect and explain your offer well, because you could have the best offer, you know, they've ever heard of, but if you don't convey that offer to them, it's not going to connect, and they're not going to understand why it's the coolest thing they've ever heard of, but they're not, you know, they haven't heard of it because they're not connecting. Mm-hmm. And so that's why copywriting is really important. And then it comes the design piece. I always love, I have to have copy first. I never design without copy. I never have, never will. Like, don't ever ask me to, because there's no point. There's zero point to design before you have copy, especially with what we've been talking about with the strategy, right? So that's why once you, so now you have your offer, you have your copy, whether it's for you or for your client. And then now we design it to make the best experience of that copy and that offer. And so now we give it color, you know, we make it 3D, we bring it to life. We make it so that pixels on a page are now an experience to be like felt and like smelled and heard and like, right. We try to make it as 3D as possible, whether it's through video or through like maybe just some interactive elements or just literally reading, you know, just the way that we have them read it. So like I said, in any of those three places, it could fall apart. It could fall apart at the offer, it could fall apart at the copy, and it can definitely fall apart in the design, which is usually the only thing we kind of think about. And so it's interesting how we're kind of normally as designers, we're kind of ignoring the first two. Because a lot of times we just get handed the offer or we get handed the copy. And so this is why we teach all three, because I want you to be a triple threat. I don't want you just to be a one trick pony where you just do to the design. Like I want you literally to do the offer, to do the copy, and to do the design. Because if you can do all three of those, there's no stopping you. You're not just a designer anymore. You're literally like the most like amazing, you know, God's gift to them that they've ever seen, because now you get all three parts and you understand how they all connect with each other. And there's no failure points. Like you can't like, because I think that's one of the things as a designer that you get like bummed out about. Like if you design something and it doesn't sell and it like really wasn't your fault because you didn't create the offer and you didn't create the copy. You just did the best with what you could do. But it reflects on you as the creator, because now they, you know, they paid whatever $10,000 for a new website and it's not selling. But that was like never your fault. So that's that's where it like stinks. But also now you're charging for the strategy of the offer, and you're charging for the strategy of the copy, and you're charging, you know, it's like the whole piece. Now you can easily charge, you know, 30,000, 40,000, whatever, because it's the whole piece, and you've shored up any area where it could break, and you know that it's like the best possible offer you could have. And so you've made yourself indispensable. Like you're the person, like there's like no one else for them is except for you, because now you're like superwoman, you know, like nobody can stop you.
Yes. That's how you go from being just a specialist, you know, specializing in one area, the design, to being that standout, having the mastery over the conversion copywriting, the funnel strategy, and the funnel design, so that you are that superwoman to your client in that situation.
Yeah. It's just like Hollywood, you know, like the actors that can sing and dance, like they never like want for work, right? They're just because there's so many options, and they're just like, oh, and those are the people that charge the big bucks, right? Like when you look at the actors and actresses we know of that have like great singing voices, you're like, where did that come from? Oh my gosh, they're amazing, you know? And so I really think it's just kind of the same thing as making yourself even better, but just making sure ultimate success for your clients.
Yes. I love that you kind of phrased it as ultimate success for your clients, because yes, it matters to you as the service provider, as the designer or the strategist in that sense. Of course, like, you know, we want your businesses to thrive and be successful and be profitable, but also knowing that by investing in yourself and by creating a standout level of service, by kind of hitting on that trifecta there, you're able to deliver such an incredible experience for your clients. And Kathy, you've been saying this, I mean, all along throughout this entire conversation, that's when you're able to start seeing those projects that when you launch, you're actually delivering results and you're hitting those goals that your client wanted to achieve when they came to you, right?
Absolutely. Because ultimately, the more successful your client is, the more successful you are. And also the more people that see your work, and the more people like they will tell, they say, I hired, you know, Bonnie, and she and my return on my investment was like, whatever, you know, 10 times, 20 times, 30 times. And it's because like, that's how people quantify design. As much as like, we love to feel it, to feel great and go, I finally feel like me. That's the ultimate, like that's the, right? Like you want them to stick around. You want their businesses to thrive so they can connect with their own people. And so I always, like that was always an area of contention when I was a designer. I always felt like weird about not connecting like success with their success, like with their money. Like I never even really followed up with people. I feel so bad about this, like nowadays, but I didn't know how to. And also because it wasn't all in my court, you know, again, right. Like I was going with the offer that they had and the service, but they just told me what their packages were. And they would just tell me, here's the copy. And I think I was afraid of copy for a long time. That's the other thing that I see. A lot of designers are like, I'm not a wordsmith, and you don't have right. to be a wordsmith. Like if you understand this seller psychology, buyer psychology, like all that together, and you understand what works and how humans behave, you don't have to write a novel or be a poet or like, you know, like a wordsmith. You really don't, because they're not even necessarily looking for you to like have this fluffy copy. They just literally want what you have and they want to be helped. So I think that's another like total misnomer that, oh, I'm a designer, I'm not really a copywriter, or oh, I'm a designer, I'm not really like an offer strategist. But yes, you are, because you can totally learn it, because design's the hardest part. Once you're a designer, you are like 80% of the way there, because that's the hardest part to teach. I have like spent a lot of time trying to break it down and trying to teach it. And I am successful in some ways. Some people just really can't. They just don't love it. Right. But it's the hardest part. So copy and an offer is like, it's just like following rules. It's so easy. Not easy, but once you have a formula and a system, you literally just go down and you just go, okay, I did that. Next. Okay. Next. Okay. Next. Okay. Next. You just don't have to have like the level of, I guess, talent in those other two as you do in design.
Right. It seems like a concept where, or a series of concepts where, if you have a method that you can follow, you can implement it successfully.
Yes, totally. And it also just makes sense. It's like, you're a human, I'm a human, we can kind of figure this out as long as we understand how people think.
I love that. That's such good advice. Well, Kathy, one question I always like to ask kind of towards the end of each conversation here on the Brand Strategy Podcast centers around encouragement. So for those who are tuning in today, my guess is they're getting really excited and they're kind of starting to connect the dots and see the possibility that can happen if they choose to implement funnel strategy, conversion copywriting, and funnel design. So what kind of encouragement would you share to those who are tuning in today who are ready to kind of, combine that trifecta of concepts to become standout service providers?
Yeah, I would definitely say anyone who, when you were listening, goes, that's interesting, but how, or who am I to do it? You guys are especially the people who I want to talk to right now and encourage, because it's really, I didn't know that I was good at this. Like I was told, I guess we have these stories, right, that we tell ourselves, like I've been the artist like my whole life. And so I told myself maybe that I was nothing else, like that like, okay, I can be a really good artist, but that means I'm not good at business. That means I'm not good at math. That means I'm not good at numbers. That means I'm not good at selling. That means I'm not like, right. Like I was telling myself all these things. And when I dove into it and actually just kind of started trying it, I actually really liked it. And so that's what I would say. I said, if it sounds good to you that you pick and choose your clients, that you basically literally just charge whatever the heck you want, you can take on less clients and you can serve them in a much deeper and more fulfilling way, then you want to become a triple threat. Like that's it. Because if there's no better way than to serving them at all the levels and all the like the failure points basically that they would need, and just showing up and just doing that for them, it's like you're unlocking new levels of your brain and your creativity. Because copy is creative, offers are creative. Like this is just another level, another version of your creativity. So those are the people I want to really encourage, because and to not talk yourself out of it, because I think it can unlock a whole other business for you, but like it can totally transform the way your business currently looks.
That's amazing. That's such powerful encouragement. And now, Kathy, I know that those who are tuning in today, they're probably going to want to learn more about the work that you do and what you're up to. So where can they connect with you online?
Yeah. So we have, we have our courses that we teach. We have templates that we do. We also do have a certification program. So if anyone wants to get actually like certified, we just opened the Hire a Marketer directory. So it's an amazing, it's basically you could only people that are certified in the triple threat. Like you can't just be certified in one, you have to go all in. But I swear, I promise it's like fun. It's not easy. There's an exam and everything. So it's not easy, but it's awesome. And so there's that. And then also if you are looking for a funnel platform and you'd love to support, you know, two awesome women, that would be amazing if you would join us in FG Funnels. I think you'll really love it. And I'm also always tweaking it to be more designer friendly as well. So know that like a designer's got your back on a funnel platform. but yeah, we also have a YouTube channel. We're on Clubhouse too. We love Clubhouse. I don't know if you're on Clubhouse yet, but love chatting over there. So all the places Funnel Gorgeous.
Ah, I love it. And y'all who are tuning in today, as always, if you go to brandstrategypodcast.com and click on the show notes for today's episode, I will have all of these links there for you so that you can follow along with all the incredible things that Kathy and Julie are doing and you can connect with them in that way. So Kathy, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, having this conversation with me, geeking out about all things funnel strategy and sales psychology. I mean, this has been such an amazing conversation, and I'm so grateful for your time and your expertise.
Oh, I just realized that I have a class, a free class that might be helpful for any people, anyone who's, if you already know what a funnel is and you're kind of already using funnels, you won't need this. But for anybody who hasn't dove into the world of funnels and you're not really sure how they're different between like a website and a funnel, and if you want to create a funnel for your service-based business, it's a very particular type of funnel. It's not the kind that you've probably seen where you've gone to like a sales page and bought stuff like that. There's a specific service-based funnel, and I have a free class teaching you. It's called Funnels for the Rest of Us for people who don't like ever have used a funnel or thought about it. But I will make sure to get you guys that link in the show notes so you guys can take that free class. It's really quick. I think it's less than an hour. So yeah,
that's amazing. Thank you so much, Kathy. I am so excited for people to get to tune into that masterclass, because that sounds absolutely amazing.
Sure.
Well, thank you again for coming on the show. It's been really fantastic to have this conversation with you. And friends, for those who are tuning in today, if you learned something, if you started to feel kind of some sparks sparking in your brain when you think about this concept of this triple threat, I would be so honored if you would share this episode with an industry friend, a fellow designer who you believe could gain value from this conversation as well. I love getting to see you sharing these conversations with your industry friends, because together we're able to really just cheer each other on and equip one another as we pursue our definitions of success. So as always, thank you all for tuning in. And Kathy, again, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a blast.
Thank you so much for joining me today, friend. Before you go, I would be so grateful to receive your feedback on the Brand Strategy Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, or the podcast in general has helped you grow your brand, I'd really appreciate it if you left us a review in iTunes. Your positive reviews enable the Brand Strategy Podcast to continue to grow and reach like-minded creatives just like you. Plus, I'll be randomly selecting a handful of lucky reviewers each month to receive a little thank you surprise from me in the mail. Thank you for all your support and encouragement as together we pursue building brands with purpose and intention. Until next time, I'm cheering you on from Waco.